Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you ask them to name three geniuses, they probably wouldn't say Einstein, Newton, you know. They'd go Brent, Partridge, Sessions. It's Flats and Shanks.
Shout to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, to the home I love best, where my soul can rest. Yes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast.
That was the intro. We don't have to do it.
Flats and Shanks. I'm Brian Harvey.
I'm Tony Mortimer.
Oh, you got his surname. I thought I'd do you there. Tony was always the brains.
But he was the backbone.
Say what you want about...
Singer-songwriter.
Say what you want about Brian Harvey, but he had a hella voice, bro. Hella voice.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
He did. I'm saying that because I'm at dinner next week. And he's 17 are playing.
Are they really?
Yeah, they've got Brian Harvey. They've not got Brian Harvey because he's doing something else. But they've got Tony Mortimer. They've got the guy who was on Celebrity Weddings. And they've
don't know him.
And they've got the roofer or the Tyler.
Mate, that's like Guns N' Roses doing a concert without Axl Rose. It's like, I'm sorry, it just doesn't work.
Which is an anagram for oral sex.
Oh, yeah.
But... Gethin Jones is hosting the dinner. It's for a friend of mine, Roger Harry. He's putting the dinner on for charity. Gethin Jones is the host. All I want to do is just introduce E17.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Will he let you?
Hopefully.
Presumably he just wants to introduce E17 as well.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe I can just introduce a song. I'll just quote lyrics. I'll be like, turn the lights off and put some music on. Let our body sing, swing to the soft song. I feel your heat, it's turning me on. I want to feel you all night long. So come close, as close as you can. I can go on forever, mate.
You really can't you?
Yeah. That's deep. That's my favourite.
That you really can.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone's got to have heroes when they're younger, don't they?
Yeah. Mine was a Sugar Hill Gang and Frank Bruno.
Mine was E17 and David Hasselhoff.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing.
I actually love the Hoff.
Yeah.
I really want to meet him. He goes out with a Welsh girl. He might even be married to her. But
I'm sure he's done incredibly well, but I always feel a bit sorry for David Hasselhoff whenever I see him on TV. He seems a bit
desperate
character.
Is that when his daughters were videoing him pissed? Remember, he was really drunk and they were videoing him eating a burger and he was just another level.
Nah, because we've all
not
been
Dane Bowers another level. Oh, they were good.
We've all
well.
Been there, homie. I loved another level. I remember once on the radio, Dane Bowers was doing a call-in on Radio 1 or something, and someone called in and said, I like the song, but I just wish they didn't all mime and they can't even sing and you haven't even got a good voice, and like hammered him. And he was like, hang on a minute, I've got a proper voice. And this person was like, well, you haven't. You dance and you look good and all that sort of stuff, but you don't actually sing. You're not actually musicians. And he's like, all right, let's sing. And he sang and it was like, holy moly, that is a proper voice.
So he wasn't like Anthony Costello?
No, the real deal. Was it, oh no, it's one of the lads from Blue that used to go to Eros Nightclub. Oh, do you remember? Eros Nightclub in Enfield, North London's premier night spot 3 years in a row.
Which is now closed down.
Now closed down, and so it should be, and fumigated. But
it used to be Walthamstow Dog Track.
Yeah.
Which was a close second.
But Matt Cairns, obviously, yeah, a long time ago, all very young and single, weren't we? He ended up pulling this girl who was going or had been going out with one of the lads from Blue, the Greek lad from, was he Greek or Cypriot from, I realise they're two very different things, but I don't know which one it was. In Enfield, there were a lot of...
That's Anthony Costello.
That's him, yeah. But she used to go out with him and she upgraded to Cairnsy, that's what we always said.
Yeah.
Even though he's basically like, he looks like Dom, what's that game? Dom Littlewood, is it? The guy who does the...
Yes, that's Matt Kearns, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does programmes about shortchange and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think they've done you there. I think they've seen you coming. We're not having it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Cairns, she upgraded to Cairnsy.
But now if she went back to Anthony, she'd be upgrading to Anthony.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because, you know, he's an IFA now.
Yeah, exactly it.
I don't know one IFA that is a good crack.
Lawrence Scrace.
He's a disgrace. I don't even know him.
Used to play for Wasps. He's a properly good crack, and he's an IFA.
I was joking. I know. You know, they're just...
No, but he is the only one.
Pencil pushers. But how are you?
Hey, I'm all right. So you I'm worried about, mate.
Are you had a busy week? I saw you're at... I mean, this is why I was singing, because I saw some social media. I'm not a troller. That's my mate, Andrew Nicholson. He goes on a troller day.
Is that the Wolf?
No. That's James Rainbird. Andrew Nicholson.
Is that Nico?
Anders.
Anders.
Yeah, likes wearing shoes that Roger Moore wears. But,
by the way, I was wearing my funny shoes the other day, and
what funny shoes you got?
Even here? Like Austin Healey was like, they're amazing shoes.
What funny shoes?
Benny Kay and everyone, and they're the ones that Nick Mullins recommended to me that you've mocked, and people kept tugging me to the side and saying, "Hey, brother."
Just to give you an insight into these shoes, listeners, they're just a pair of blue suede brogues. There's nothing
no,
fancy
not.
About them at
they're not
all.
Blue, so that's exactly what they're not.
With a bit of a trainer sole to them, so it's like sports cash, so you can, you know,
they're called
get
Cole Haan, and they're all the rage in the States, which is where I got them, because I'm all the rage. So
yeah, you got it imported, didn't you, with a load of FUBU stuff.
That's Dai Young.
Fits you.
Yeah. Dai Young.
Well, yeah, you're not quite as big as him.
No, I'm actually 30 kilos lighter than Dai Young.
How do you know Dai Young's weight?
I asked one of the lads. I can't tell you which of the lads I asked, because then he'll know that he's grassed him up. But it was Jake Cooper-Woolley.
Yeah.
I think it was Jake. And he told me that Dai, his mission is to get below 150 kilos. And he's about 155 kilos. Now, the average silverback gorilla in the wild is 150 kilos in weight. Dai is a big, big man.
Yeah, but I'm sure the average silverback gorilla muscle to weight ratio is a lot higher.
I tell you, yeah, it would be, but...
They wouldn't have an overhang if they put a pair of pants on, would they?
No, but I tell you what...
I can't wait.
You walk past Dai and say hello, or you tap him on the back and squeeze past him. You've got to always squeeze past him, even if he's standing in the middle of the pitch. It is like... Do you know what it's like? It's like tapping...
Ben Tapaway?
A leather-lined dashboard. It's like tap your... If you've got a leather dashboard that's a little bit cushioned, tap that. Because, yes, there's a bit of soft there, but there's also a lot of substance underneath that. That is a big human being.
You've got big calves. He's got gigantic calves as well. He's just a massive bloke. He's got a good shape for...
Tight head prop.
Yeah, and world's strongest man.
He really has, yeah. He's strongman build.
Yeah, huge
tell
back.
You, tell you who I saw the other day.
Ooh, I love this game. Oh, well, it's a question, so...
Oh, it wasn't. Okay, I'll make it a question. Who do you think I saw the other day? I'm thinking... two clues. Amazingly attractive... bloke, rugby player, amazingly attractive with amazing calves, or an amazing calf.
Ooh,
you're not going to get it, mate.
Okay, go on then.
Don Waldock. Saw him up at Newcastle.
But is he tall enough to be amazingly attractive?
Ah, when you look like Dom and you got a body like that and a face like that and hair like that, it doesn't matter, but mate.
The girls I know want to go out with a guy that's 6'2".
No, I'm
with a shaved head and European skin.
What European? Lapland. Dom is, but Welsh. Dom has got one mega. I was like, mate, your calves. And he walked off, and I was like, I wouldn't normally comment, but I was like, that is a mega calf. It's massive, and it's got veins popping out of it. It's huge, like Arnie
Something
calf.
Something Johnny Drama would be proud of.
He walks away, and I'm thinking, he's only got one.
Really?
Yeah, one. The other calf is fine. One calf is mega.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't have the veins popping out of mine, but I've doubled up. I got two double XL. You get me?
But everyone's got man crush, haven't they?
Yeah.
But I like men that are in proportion. You know, so I don't want to see a big upper body, beautiful upper body, wearing a vest to the gym, the lot, And then I look down below and they've got a really pair of baggy shorts and there's no cars.
Bro. It's real bros don't let bros skip leg day.
And that's one of the reasons why Arnie won so many Mr. Olympias over Lou Ferrigno, because he was more in proportion.
Yeah. Symmetrical.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you happy with my symmetry at the moment?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. I like your pastel colours you're wearing as well. But
baby blue shorts. Yeah.
I go to the gym and I look in the mirror and it's a bit like being an artist for me. I look and I'm looking around and say, right, my lats need a little bit of work. So an artist would paint whilst I'll do like a set of 10.
On the lat pull down. Wide grip lat pull down.
Oh, chin.
Oh, you chin, do you?
Chinzan, yeah.
Chinzan Brook.
Yeah. Sometimes I butterfly, sometimes I do strict, sometimes I kip.
You sometimes kip?
I can.
If I kip, my shoulder would come through my armpit.
There's no chance you could kip.
No. I've got like, they used to do this warm up at the gym where it's like, right, just grab hold of the chin up bars, go pull up bars and just hang for 30 seconds. Like, it's weird because you want me to bench a load of weight or lift a load of weight, fine, I can try and do that, or do pull ups, I can do pull ups.
Yeah.
If you want me to hang there, my shoulder socket will ricochet through my armpit.
If you want to say, right, can you move that washing machine into the garage? No problem.
No problem. But I've also, my right bicep is, it snapped a few years ago and came out.
During.
And instead of putting it back into my shoulder, which they normally would, I'd had so many pins and stuff putting my shoulder on the two recons before that, they put it back under my armpit and screwed it underneath my armpit.
All I've got to say to you, mate, is you should have got a girlfriend earlier. Because you know why you got weakness there.
You think it's one of those injuries?
Wow.
I've seen
how aggressive you are.
Left hand, backhand. Right, have you ever walked in on a teammate who's been...
No, let's keep this clean because...
No, who's doing something perhaps shouldn't, that might make him go blind.
Let's keep this clean.
I'm just asking. I haven't said the rude words.
Putting like tequila in their eyes, doing the tequila stuntman.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't. Because... I'm not that type of person.
What?
I'll always knock.
Do you beat when you go around corners in the country?
Put it this way. I room with Matthew Rhys when we were in South Africa. And no joke, it was 28 degrees. I thought he had a cold because tissues everywhere. But that wasn't the case.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyway, the reason I sung...
Yeah, let's keep it clean.
The reason I sung at the start was because I was on social media having a look and I saw some videos of Ben Foden's testimonial. I mean, I wasn't invited. I probably was, but you know, it's a long way to go, isn't it? But
you
and I saw him singing. And now you were there, weren't you?
I was there,
front row.
I watched it live. I was sitting next to Goody.
How was Goody?
Goody, great form. Yeah,
was he?
Yeah.
How was he looking? Sharp.
Yeah, Goody looks good. Goody looks good. He's, you know,
because he listens to this. You know, they take tips, don't they?
I don't think he does. But
they do, mate. They say they don't, but I know Hamilton does.
Goody,
non-stop.
Goody stores his snacks in his ears. That's why. All the hair keeps it warm. But so Ben Foden comes out. Martin Bayfield's hosting it. He's the daddy. He was brilliant as ever. But they, like, their first bit of entertainment is, right, something special is about to happen. And Ben Foden walks out and starts singing this song. Now, we all know Foden likes to sing.
Can I tell him the song? Please.
Yeah, I can't remember.
All these little things. It's by One Direction, but written by
Bob Marley, Bob Monkhouse, Bob Hope.
No, you'll
Gary Barlow. Am I getting there?
Close.
Tony Mortimer.
No. Close. Sing. It's when I mention who wrote it, you'll think, oh yeah, that it does sound exactly like one of his songs.
Right. James Blunt.
No, bigger.
Like, as in taller, Michael Jordan.
No. Jaws from Bond.
I got a funny story about him. Anyway, yeah.
Do you want me to tell you?
No. I want you to give me another clue.
Okay. He used to live in Courtney Cox's summer house or pool house in America.
God, just tell me.
Ed Sheeran.
Oh, he wrote that, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can see now, can't you?
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah. There we are.
Anyway, so he comes out singing it, and you're like, the thing with Foz is, some of the lads did a Q&A last night, and Luther Burrell did it. He was brilliant. Dylan Hartley did it, predictably brilliant. But Richard Wigglesworth was their third choice for the Q&A. And if you don't know Wig, you'd think, well, if you got Tins in the room or something, you'd use Tins because Tins was there, and whatever. Or you got Leonard, you'd use Leonard, but you wouldn't. You'd use Wiggy because he is just brutal and he's very funny. He was really, really good. And he's just absolutely no nonsense. But he was class. But
brutal in what way? Just ripping into the boys?
Oh, ripping into Foden's. Like, okay. Said he's a good bloke in the end, but just hammered him.
Because Foden loves to sing, doesn't he?
Mate, Foden's a showman. He's an absolute showman. But he's one of those guys.
Mirror.
that manages to be an absolute showman, performer, energizer bunny, loves singing, unembarrassable, but is a really, really lovely man with it and is not a knob with it.
Yeah.
It's very rare that. And so he's very, very lovable. But he comes out and he takes the old singing quite seriously. And he is a super cheesy bastard. Like, he is so cheesy.
I was watching it because Tom Evans comes out and then they have some sort of interaction together, which is really awkward because they're not performers and they don't have the stage presence that someone like I would have. So it looked a bit, you know, shall I touch you, shall I not? And then I saw Danny Kerr come out.
Danny Kerr came out. And then at the end, it was like, that's three pretty boys, you know. And then Kieran
Rick
Brooks
Waller.
Came out.
Oh, sorry.
Kieran Brooks came out and he looked like he'd swallowed Danny Kerr.
Yeah.
But just a massive geezer, you know. But he had a great voice as well. And it was original, because I think these dinners can be so samey. And it was like, just they did something different.
I've seen a few clips online. I think it's either Facebook or Twitter. And it's of Ben Foden. And he's married to Una.
From the Saturdays.
Now, there's videos, and she's singing a song. She's singing a cover song or one of her songs, and he's just reading the paper in the background. And then when the chorus comes, he drops the paper and starts singing.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible.
Mate.
Oh, it's brilliant. He's, like, doing the washing up in the background, and then when the chorus comes, he stops completely, and he joins in the chorus.
Mate.
I know.
Bro.
I can't sing, though. I can rap.
I can just body pop. But he has got a lovely voice, and she performed as well. Una performed, and yeah. She was, I must say.
Una Healy.
I must say, she was fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Two
what
songs.
Was her voice like?
Oh, awesome. What? Her voice was amazing.
Really?
She was brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And they did a duet as well. So at least it was something original.
Yes,
you know.
Of course. Did they have a comedian?
No.
Wasn't bloody you again, was it?
Oh, what? No, they had a lovely auction, and they had a... It was good, because it wasn't one of those events that... A couple of songs... So three songs, two Q&As, auction, done.
No, mate, I agree. Like, really, you know, there's so many dinners that go on, so many testimonial dinners, so many rugby charity dinners that you have to be unique a lot of the time. You know, a standard Q&A, you've got to have different entertainment to just shock people, I suppose,
yeah.
A little bit, and to offer something different for them. So look good. But as I said, you know, I probably was invited, but I just haven't been checking my emails because I've been so busy, haven't we?
Oh, God. We went, stop,
up to,
isn't it?
We went up to Wyndham. You and I,
yeah,
on the on Thursday
we co-hosted a dinner.
I listened because Wyndham's near Norwich. I love Norwich. I only love Norwich because that's Alan Partridge's home.
Yeah,
but I listened to the whole of West Cork, which is a podcast about a murder that went on to a French lady back in 1996.
I'm on episode 8,
and I listened to it all on the way up.
Don't ruin it
back.
For me.
No, it's good. It's good. I enjoyed it.
It's good, but it's not right.
I enjoyed it.
I love it.
So that was good. But yeah, but the dinner was good, wasn't it? As you said, yeah, we co-hosted.
Loved it. You opened with a dodgy gag that I told you not to open with. Those of you that are listening, you may have seen that last year Shanks and I went to Georgia and did a video for BBC over there. And it was very, very high-end in terms of journalism. But we met the Prime Minister of Georgia.
Not the President.
And Shank said, I'm going to start with a gag. And I was like, don't, mate, don't. It's a different language. It's super formal. We're on camera. We're in the Oval Office, whatever they call it. Do not. And he's like, I'm doing it. I was like, don't. You're misjudging this completely. He did it, and it went well.
We're in the Cobra Room, weren't we?
Cobra Room, yeah. So he did it, and it went well. And I was more than happy to eat humble pie. And this time...
Yeah, basically, it was our first opening question.
Big day for you, mate.
Was going to be Mr... Prime Minister, it must be a huge. What was it? I
honor.
Can't remember. It must be a huge honor to.
A huge honor today to, for you to meet me and Dave.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was about to say it, but you beat me to it.
Oh, sorry. I thought you couldn't remember it.
No, I couldn't.
yeah. But then Shanks told me the gag he wanted to open with at this dinner, because we didn't prep that much, really, did we? It was kind of loose, which is how we do it. But rough outline of what we're going to do. But then you said you're going to open with this gag, and I said you cannot open with that. You cannot open, because there are, it's not just in a bloody rugby club. There are men and women of all ages here.
There's police in the room.
18 upwards, there are police in the room. You cannot make gags like that. and you went with it, and it went down an absolute treat.
It was delivery, though, wasn't it? But, you know, it's a rugby dinner.
That's off to you, boy.
It's a rugby dinner, and people in that rugby environment are used to that type of humour, I would say. You know, if it was a corporate event, and boy, we do a lot of them. I wouldn't have done that. You know, I would have obviously kept it very clean.
Yeah.
Mr. Muscle, I would have kept it. But, you know, it went down all right. So it was good. Roger Dakin was there as well. He does a lot of emceeing. He's a very, very funny guy. He did 5 minutes on the mic of just pure one-liners, which were class.
While he's still with us, he'll be dead soon, wasn't
he? Yeah.
Very old guy.
Yeah. You know, every time I see him, I shake his hand, I give him a hug, because that could be the last time.
Yeah, I shook his hand too hard. He rattled.
Yeah. Well, actually, I shook him. Woo! I didn't expect his hand to be warm, basically.
No, but I mean, we joke, but he is so old, he'll be dead soon.
Yeah, so that was nice, wasn't it, on Thursday? Just a trek, though, but...
Yeah, it was a trek, and I did the... I hosted the Gloucester end-of-season dinner.
Yeah, you did.
Over at the centre, over at Cheltenham Racecourse, and...
How was that for you?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's nice, you know what it's like. You get the formal bits out of the way at the start, and then you can actually start speaking to players and coaches and whatever. And I've never met Johan Ackerman before, but, geez, what a nice fella. I mean... If he's got hard edges, then he saves them. He looks big and hard, but if he's got hard edges, he saves them for the training pitch. Because
of course he has.
He is just a gorgeous bloke. And spoke really, really well. And David Humphreys, I always really enjoy like the brief chats I get with him, because I always find him, he's very bright and he's very open and stuff.
Do you have a scrum hat on?
Didn't have a scrum hat on. I asked him what I thought was an interesting question. I was like, so you're DOR at Gloucester. There's all this chat of Johan Ackerman coming in. They announced he's signed. And I'll be honest, I expected you to get sacked, because why do you need two top men?
Can I just say that's an aggressive question?
Yeah, I didn't put it exactly that. I said, okay. I expected one to come in and one to go out.
I'd get up on my grill if you asked me that.
Yeah, but a reasonable question. So how do you divvy up the role? Because it seems to be really working. And he was like, well, Johan might argue that I don't do much. But he was great, and got the chairman up and CEO Steve Warner. But then we got into the players then, so I had a chat with Ed Slater, very good value. Jason Woodward, again, great value. Willie Hines, lovely bloke. So you can get stuck into these boys and have a bit of fun with them.
Woodward's been so good.
Oh, man, what a player. I mean, he would be a Premiership 15 of the year.
Is he related to Clive?
If Willie LaRue didn't play for Wasps.
But Willie LaRue has always been good, and he's always got... like magic inside him, but it's only sort of, I reckon, the second part of the season that's really clicked, because I think the first part and last year, who was the Aussie there now? Mine's gone blank.
Marshall.
No,
where?
Wasps.
Curtly Beale.
You know, he sort of stole the show, really, but since he's left, Willie LaRue has sort of taken over that mantle, really. And yeah, he's had a great end to the season.
Yeah, great end to the season. He is wonderful.
But, you know, when he played, I don't know why he didn't put the ball down close to the post when they play in Newcastle.
Oh, tell me about it. I haven't slept. Oh. So that was nice, actually. That was a nice little do. And then I went up to judge the... wet T-shirt
Dog
contest. But I went to judge the Land Rover Discovery of the Year thingamajee bobby at Twickenham with a load of journos and rugger type.
So a Discovery won it? Yeah.
So Discovery won it, and it's an interesting one because
love this.
There's a shortlist, and you want it to be a Discovery, but actually the parameters they set are you've got to be basically under the age of, I think it's 23, you've got to have played at least 8 games in the Prem to qualify. So, for example, Maro Itoje qualifies as a Discovery of the season. Joe Simmons does not. Hasn't played enough games.
Right, you confused me there. I thought you were judging an actual Discovery Land Rover.
No, it's sponsored by Land Rover, hence it's called Discovery. And I think the winner becomes a Land Rover ambassador. Words, guess, yeah. So, but, you know, Maro's available, Ruan Ackerman's available, Joe Simmons is not available. You know, it's quite an interesting one. So there are players that have, Maro's been available, Maro's been on the long list for 3 years, you know, but you can't call him a Discovery because he's a world star now. So I know exactly who's won it, and I'm not going to tell you, but what I will say is... we kind of got there, and we had 2 hours set aside for judging.
What I will say is he plays back row and second row for Saracens.
What I would say is that I can tell you now we discounted Maro because can't call him a Discovery. But the person who's won it, it was like we got there, and it's like, right, has everyone got their shortlist? Everyone, no, it was almost like, guys, does anyone not think it's this guy. It's like, right, let's go around the room, everyone be honest, and just before we start doing shortlists and ruling people out and ruling people into shortlists and voting, let's say if anyone's got a different winner. And it was like 1 minute later, all eight or all nine of us had exactly the same winner. Bang, 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 winner.
Yeah.
So then it's like, right, who's going to make up the shortlist?
You forced your opinion, basically.
I was sixth of eight to give my opinion.
Were you the only former rugby player there?
Yes.
Okay. Fine.
Professional, anyway.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I spoke at Llantrisson Rugby Club.
You sent me a video, didn't you?
The Black Army, yeah. Nicky Flyer. He listens to the podcast, actually.
All right, Nicky.
He's desperate to meet you, mate.
What's up with his thumbs, though?
I don't know. They're like toes. So I ripped into him at the dinner. I said, yep, toes up to you, mate. Put my thumbs up. But yeah, it was nice. I know a lot of the guys there anyway. So it was good fun. But he's desperate to meet you. And
he
works for a company called MIB. So a mate of mine runs a construction company.
Men in Black.
Yeah, McKenzie Interior Building, it is, actually. But he's in Bath a lot, and he's saying every time he sees a Range Rover, he's flashing his lights, hoping it's Flatters, he calls you.
Flatters?
Yeah. He really wants to meet you. I might have to take him to meet you, because he's desperate to. It'd make his year.
No, I don't like him. He looked like a dick.
He loves peas, though. He ate loads of peas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I was in traffic on the A40 yesterday, driving into London, and this bloke drives, like, scoots past me on his motorbike, and, like, gives me a big thumbs up, like, waves and gives me a thumbs up, and I was like, oh God, did I just cut him up? I thought he was being sarky. He then whips a couple of cars in front, pulls onto the hard shoulder. It's like really crawling traffic at this point. And he just stops. And he stops and he's looking back, waiting for my car. And I was like, oh God, have I carved this guy up? Am I about to have to, you know, lay the smack down, yeah? Punch a hole in this guy's helmet or say sorry. And I put the window down. And he was like, he goes, all right, mate. Saw the car. I've seen the car on Twitter. Thought it might be you. Love the show, mate. And as well, he goes, where's Shanks?
Hey.
I said, he's in the boot, fella. In the boot, fella.
That was it. Does it smell like chloroform?
Yeah. It made me think, like, a potentially real bell-end thing to say, but it made me think, like, genuinely imagine being famous. It genuinely must be so rubbish. Like, if you're Johnny Wilkinson or you're David Beckham, honestly, imagine going to the shops or going in to get a Costa at the services.
Imagine being a former ex-rugby union player living in Wales.
Oh, mate.
Wow.
Yeah, it's probably quite nice for you to get out today, isn't it?
I remember going to Hong Kong, and everyone was like, where's Flats? I was like, oh, it's too hot for him out here.
He's too fat.
Yeah.
Which is actually out of order.
Met the MD of SMEG this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's Andy.
Yeah. Real nice guy.
That's Andy. You ordered yourself a mint green fridge, have you?
No, I've got one already, but I might order a toaster and a kettle.
Oh, you're going to get 13% off through your mate?
Yeah, probably. Through the MD? That was a little bit more, at least 15. Yeah, because trying to do, like, maybe some expo stands for him, because I don't know if you know, but at Gennaro, we don't just do events, mate. We do expo stands a lot.
I always thought Gennaro was a made-up thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a made-up name. I think it's like Greek or Latin, and it means to create. Put that in your pipe.
You
bald bugger.
Yeah, I'm not putting it in my pipe. You don't know if it's Greek or Latin, and it's your company.
It's one or the other.
You're an embarrassment.
It's not my company. Well, yeah, it is. Part of mine. No, it's not. It's Bubs's. He knows, and he's fluent in both. but yeah.
Did you do Latin at school?
Yeah, mostly when I was an archaeologist and I found dinosaurs and had to name them. You know, so.
Had to name them?
Yeah.
Yeah, Caecilius.
Yeah. Did you make that up?
No, it's one of the textbook, one of the characters in the textbooks when I actually did Latin, GCSE.
Okay. Yeah.
What grade did I get? Sorry?
Oh, yeah. What grade did you get?
Oh, I've got an A.
Say in Latin then.
Sorry?
Alpha.
Ah.
Couldn't tell you. That's been my week, really, mate. I had a quiet bank holiday. You know what I'm like, just... I've got your cough off the...
Can you stop coughing?
Just quiet. We had bank holiday, wasn't it? So...
Matt Powell's surprise 40th was Sunday night.
Yes.
Don't tell him, but it was last Sunday.
Okay. He doesn't listen to this anyway.
No. Can't work the computers. It was great. His wife planned it brilliantly. So he basically had 46 of his best mates
in his
garden
when
he came home.
Matt Powell is, we've talked about him a lot. He used to play at Worcester. He used to play at Saracens with us, Quinns. He's played at Bath. He's played all over the shop. But you might have heard him on our live podcast because does a bit of warm-up for us, doesn't he? Just introduces us, gets the crowd going,
very
gets our juices
guy.
Flowing. Yeah, funny to look at.
He is funny to look at. He's funny immediately. Looks like Willem Dafoe, but worse. He's been in a blender.
Freddie Burns.
Yeah, not as bad as Freddie, but bad. So, yeah, it was his surprise party on Sunday night. It was very, very nice. Very, very good. Lovely weather. Lovely bit of grub.
Did you go a bit mental? Do you have like a shot? Or?
I was in bed at midnight.
What were you drinking?
I was just really tired.
Red wine.
Yeah, red wine. Stay close to me. I was just drinking red wine. He had a couple of bloody beers, but he was walking in. So he got home from this round of golf with his dad and his brother-in-law, Crispin, and they had this. It was all planned. Get home about 8. We're all basically waiting in his sort of sitting room area, crowded into this open plan bit they've got. And his kids, where he's like, shh, everyone be quiet, he's here. We can see him coming like up the drive. And his kids go out to get him and lead him in and say, right, Daddy, you've got to close your eyes. And as he came in, there's all these people, most people there, Danny Grucott was there. Danny and I know, but a lot of them, we don't. They're from his school or whatever, and Wales and all that. So we're just standing there, and I just whispered to Dan as he was about to walk in. I was like, who's that bird with him? As a joke, like he's got to come back with some bird. And we both just absolutely pissed ourselves. I think we might have pissed ourselves at the wrong moment, because when it came in, everyone was like surprised. We were just hands on our knees, crying our eyes out. Like, who's that bird? It just seemed to get us. And yeah, it's very, very good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was great. Lovely time, Tom.
Much coming up next week?
Well, it's Wednesday now, and I'm hosting the Northampton Saints end of season dinner.
Oh, cool.
Tomorrow night up at Franklin's Gardens. Then I'm doing, I'm hosting Johnny R's testimonial dinner at Worcester Cathedral.
Are you serious?
Yep. Yeah, I am, yeah. So I'm doing
I'm up at Bourne Rugby Club.
Are you?
And that's the difference, isn't it? I mean, you do the corporate gigs, I do the spit and sawdust.
That's you, are you a man of the people?
Just so you know, guys and girls out there, we haven't taken many bookings from this podcast for after dinner events or speeches. Oh, yeah. So, what's the matter with you?
It's because your fees are so big now.
Yeah,
mine haven't changed. Yours are just like inflating. Yours have tripled.
Yeah, that's very true. Ever since I've been on Channel 5 Anglo Welsh,
yeah,
I'd say it's gone a little bit to my head. But,
so punchy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm doing on Saturday morning in Nuneaton?
CrossFit?
No, man.
All right.
I'm doing the first stage of getting my motorbike license with Dylan Hartley.
CBT, is it?
Yeah, doing CBT with Dylan.
Or was it CRB?
It's not CRB.
Already failed that.
Dylan hasn't got that. but I saw Dylan last night at Foza's dinner, and he was like,
hey, are you doing it just because it's with the England captain, or do you actually want
to
do
it? No, I didn't know Dylan was doing it to start with. I thought it was just me, and they're like, I think Dylan's doing it too, so it's like,
oh,
perfect.
What are you doing here?
He's had a go on Ben Tupai's, you know, Toops. He's had a go on Toops's like motorbike and said he's got the hang of it a little bit. But I'm like, yeah, I've never done it at all. But we're doing it with Triumph. Because the guy, Andy Murphy, the guy from Triumph, was at our live pod with Lawrence in Twickenham. And we'd exchanged a couple of tweets and stuff. Because I love, as you know, I love toys and gadgets and stuff. I just don't have a license.
Hold on, let me rephrase that. You love anything that's for free?
No, I wouldn't.
No,
We're not getting a free bike.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay, I'll take that right back.
Yeah, we're not getting a free bike. Okay.
But and you didn't get your electric bike wasn't free, was it?
No.
No.
It actually wasn't.
Yeah.
Are you making out like it was?
No, I knew it wasn't.
No, I paid for that and it's broken. It doesn't work. So
it's just in the garden rusting.
I realised, I'm not gonna say how much it was because that's crude, but
well, it was tasty.
For me, I paid a lot of money for that.
Yeah. And like, you would raving about it.
It's a brilliant bit of kit, but you meant to not leave the battery for ages without being charged, and I left it for like a month and it's just completely dead, so I need to I don't know what's going to have to happen, but I need to do all this stuff with it.
You'll end up selling it, mate.
Yeah, it's a brilliant bit of kit. You just can't let the battery stay dead for ages.
You just use it regularly.
You just charge it regularly to keep it plugged in, basically. So I didn't... It's stupid of me, so...
Oh, nice. So you're going to do your...
So I'm going to do that. We're going to go up. And Dylan was like, hey, you do this thing on Saturday, yeah. He goes, what are you going to wear? I was like, well, he said jeans and boots. Yeah, well, what sort of boots? Like Hunter Wellies? He's like, no, mate. I'm going to wear like a pair of sturdy boots. He's like, cool. Because I've got a leather jacket. I might wear that. I was like, so you look like an absolute loser. And he goes, what bike do you want? I said, if we pass the test and buy a bike, I might try and get one of those Triumph Bobber Blacks. They're really, really cool. They're like custom matte black things. He's like, mate, you are old. You are not cool. Stop trying to be cool. Get a classic cruiser with a brown leather seat. Stop. You're an old man. I was like, you can't have a small, you need a big bike and you don't have a street bike because you're not street.
Could you get a little sidecar?
Yeah, for you.
Yeah, I'll sit in that like Garth Keenan.
Yeah. That's how we go to events. Yeah, it'd be perfect. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, so Dylan's going to be quite good on a bike because he's ridden Toopses and he's ridden dirt bikes on the farm. I've never ridden one except when I was hungover in Falaraki and fell off. So why not see each other again, mate?
It's like riding a horse, mate.
Never ridden one of those either.
Liar.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let me do the last
rugby
one.
News. I've just been listening to Ricky Gervais's podcast, season 3, an old one. We need some jingles, I think, and we're certainly going to change up the music next year.
Who's going to pay for that? Not made of bloody money. If I sell my electric bike, we can get some jingles.
I'll make it up. It's easy.
Is it?
Yeah. A little bit of rugby news. So the Welsh squad has been announced for the summer tour. They're playing a game in South Africa in Americas.
In Americas?
Yeah, and then they're going off to Argentina. But Ellis Jenkins and Corey Hill have been named as co-captains.
Yeah.
For the tour.
I do like Ellis Jenkins, I must say.
He's really
lovely player.
Really funny. There was a text that his sister, who actually I think plays rugby as well, has put on Twitter. It was brutal. It's from her mother to say, "Well done, darling."
Yeah.
And then her mum's put straight after that, "Wrong child, sorry." And Katie Jenkins, his sister's put, "Lol, Ellis in the squad, is he? ?" And the title of the tweet is, "When he finished 4 years of uni on the same day that the golden child is co-captain of Wales."
Brilliant.
So either she's incredibly bitter or she's loving it.
She loves
sadistic.
It.
Sadistic.
It
was mega funny. I had loads of retweets. I mean, she's got like something like 1,500 followers and I think 1,500 retweets.
I retweeted it. I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it as well. But Ellis Jenkins and Corey Hill have been made co-captains of that tour. Good experience for them.
Yeah,
a couple of big dogs missing, but
who?
Alan Wynn.
Having a rest, is he?
Yeah. I can't remember who else.
He won't like that, will he, Alan Wynn?
But it's a good mix of youth. It's
happy with that?
Yeah, quite happy. I mean, it's hard, like with the amount of rugby playing at the moment, it's hard to pick your strongest team every single campaign. Completely. Yeah. And with the World Cup just around the corner, you know, you need to try some new combinations. You need to chuck some of the youngsters in there to see if they've got it, to see if they can make it at that level, because when there are injuries, you want to know that players can step up.
Too right, babes. Too right, sweets.
Too right. So,
I wonder when the England squad's announced. It's Wednesday. Is it tomorrow?
Wednesday's today.
Yeah, but it's Thursday. Not Thursday tomorrow. Are they announcing this? I don't even know when they're announcing it. I'm out of the loop, mate.
George North's going on tour, which is good. He needs to play a bit of rugby, and they're looking at playing him centre as well.
13.
Yes. Well, Hadley Parks and Scott Williams can both play 12, but John Davis is out at the moment. He's out all season. He'll be back next year. Mm. But need a little bit of strength and depth because they've tried a couple of different options at 13. It's not quite worked. Tyler Morgan's been injured a lot, so he's not really got a shot out there at the moment.
Stick the big rig in there.
Yeah.
Stick the Northie in the Northernator.
He's in the game more.
Yeah, good on him. That'd be nice, actually. So, at the week, I don't know who's going. What would be interesting about this England squad, the first name I'm going to look for in the England squad to South Africa is mine. And when I've got over the fact that that's not there, I'm going to look for Danny Cipriani.
Yes.
Because I absolutely think he should be on that tour.
Do you believe the children of the future?
I believe the children are... I think he should be on the tour. However...
Treat them well and let them show them the way.
If he's not on that tour, I think there is a very good chance we will not see him play for an English club ever again.
Really?
I think he'll go to France or Japan and he'll say, sod this. Because he can't do a lot more than he's done this year. He's been the best fly half in the league by 850 miles. He's an absolutely sensational player, and he is in his socks and underpants. He's good enough to play for England. So I'm not saying George Ford isn't. I'm saying Danny Cipriani is. George Ford was great at the weekend, by the way.
Yeah, we'll get on to that in a minute.
We'll get on to that. But I really hope Sips goes, because I think...
Jason Woodward as well?
Yeah. I asked him at the Gloucester dinner if he'd had any chat, and he said no. Not yet, but he's hopeful.
Soon.
And he'd love to go.
But not yet.
Yeah.
Thomas Williams is in, scrum half from the Blues. He's had a good season. Really sharp around the base. Good to see Rhys Patchell.
Yeah, nice.
So it's a toss of a coin, really, between him and Gareth Anscombe, who's going to start 10. Owen Watkin from Ospreys. We saw a little bit of him in the Six Nations. Got some lovely touches. Big guy, powerful, fast, but not had the exposure, really, in the international scene yet. And Tom Pridey's back.
Okay.
So I played with Tom Pridey on his first cap, and basically he got capped because he was really good at... They were called Henke Mullers. They were like, we did a fitness session on a Wednesday or a Thursday before we played Italy in the last game of Six Nations in 2009.
Yeah.
And basically you're doing, I don't know, zigzags across the field. You're doing like a figure of eight around the post and back, and we had to do loads of them.
Minging.
And he was like a whippet. He was like a gazelle.
He was that guy.
He was leading him. I mean, I let him win a lot of the time because he was young, he was new to the squad. And Gatland loved the fact that he trained hard. He loved the fact that he pushed himself to the limit. Capped him on the wing.
Yeah.
So again, I played a pivotal role in his development as a player.
Because you made him look incredibly fit.
Yep.
And one guy I'd like to see in the Wales touring squad who isn't there is the young tight end who played against Georgia, Brown. Is it Leroy?
Yeah.
Luther.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
Is it Leroy Brown? Yeah. Bad Leroy Brown, baddest man in the whole damn town.
Yep.
Big fella.
Yeah.
I sort of think you stick him in for a really hard game. All right, he had a bit of a rough day, but he did improve as it went on, and he was keen to get back. Anyway, I sort of think you give a young fella like that much exposure in such
Leon
a brutal
Brown,
game.
Mate.
Leon Brown, that's joking. It. And I sort of think you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't Matt Tate him, you know. You should leave him back in there.
I'm not sure, to be honest, if he's fit or not.
I don't know. If he's fit, I'd like to see him there. If he's not fit, then he can't really go. So
yeah.
I'm speaking from a position of utter ignorance, but that's what we do, isn't it? We've got a microphone. We speak the truth, yeah?
Mate, as long as you say it confidently, no one will question you.
So I really hope Cipriani gets on that tour, because he is a wonder. He's an absolute wonder.
He was a joy to watch against Newcastle. His pass, I think it was to one of his wingers. Who was on the wing now? Elliot Daly.
It was our kid, wasn't it? Elliot Daly.
I'm sure he doesn't really even look. I'm sure
Elliot Daly hasn't got a driving licence.
Has he not? No. Oh, no, I think we've spoken about this. It's a 20, 30-minute pass. It goes over the top. It misses out Willie LaRue to hit Elliot Daly. And I'm pretty sure Cipriani doesn't really look where he's passing. He just takes the line. He looks at the opposition. And when you've got a player that's looking at you in the face, you're thinking, right, he's going to take me on. You're not thinking, right, he's going to pass or he's going to pop someone off the shoulder. When you've got eye contact with a player, you're looking to beat them. You're not looking to put someone through a hole. You know, if you're looking to put someone through a hole, the players mostly are looking at that hole.
Yeah.
And they're sort of looking away. But he's looking at his defender, throws it over the top.
It's a catch and give, no look, lobbed miss pass to the wing. But also you've got Elliot Daly is absolutely confident that he can steam onto a ball that I don't think many players... I think Ford, Farrell and him could throw that. I don't think there are many others that
could
throw
that. But he also makes...
What player?
Some class... Some incredible decisions under pressure as well, with no time. You know, you look at Josh Bassett's try, and last minute he decides just to put it, there's nothing on, put it through on the boot.
Yeah.
Perfect kick. And so hard to defend against players like that, because you literally do not know what they're going to do. They've got all options open to them. And, you know, when you're flat like that, you don't have much time. So you can't really throw, most people can't really throw blind passes.
Mm.
You have to play, when you're playing flat like that, you have to throw short passes, put people through the hole. But he's able to throw balls over the top. He's able to put it last minute onto his boot to thread it through.
Yeah.
So wingers don't know what to do, whether they should be up in the line, whether they should be back. So it's so difficult to defend.
Yeah.
He really is quite something.
So I was up at Newcastle the weekend watching him live, which is a pleasure.
Yeah, I saw your grey beard, mate. You've had a bit of a shave today. Yeah. I didn't like it, if I'm honest.
My beard?
Yeah, because it was just too white and grey at the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if you're going to grow it long, the colour has to be dispersed all over your beard.
Okay.
You're like Abdel Benazir when he just had the white bit on the top of his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you had it on your beard.
What, Tippex head?
It looked like a seagull had just pooed on you, basically.
Yeah, like I've been sunbathing on my back and a seagull pooed on my chin. Yeah, it's actually, as you well know, because I asked you to bring some clippers with you, but you'd already left. I forgot my clippers, so it just grew, and it's more laziness than anything else. It's not a fashion statement. But my little girl said to me this morning, Daddy, can I say something to you? I don't mean to be rude, but I think you look better with no hair, because when you let it grow a little bit and there's just little sprouts...
You're becoming a bit complacent, mate, if I'm honest. And I know you hate that word, but you're on TV. It's your shop window. You need to be looking the best you can. And now your dress has improved since... Well,
lost a bit of weight.
Since we've done this podcast, really, and I've been getting into you. I mean,
yeah.
You're wearing black jeans, black shirt, black pumps.
Do you like my outfit today?
Yeah, good, good.
It's a white T-shirt and baby slowly, blue chino shorts.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is you're slowly, slowly filtering out tweed. You can wear it now and again, which is fine, you know, when you're at Bath.
Yeah.
Or you're at Twickers.
Just don't ever do it.
No, but...
Okay, noted. No, absolutely yeah. Noted. So it's a big day for Newcastle. I mean, they're already through, so it doesn't really matter, but... Sellout crowd. I think they've had, someone said to me they've had a couple of sellouts and lost both games, but they were completely outdone by Wasps, really. Wasps faded in the last 20, which is kind of what they do, which doesn't bode well for the semis. Newcastle came on strong, looked like they were going to get hammered, but it was just the drama of the day, really. So originally I was meant to be doing the Channel 5 highlights and then doing the co-coms for BT, because I was up there anyway. This, you may as well come upstairs and do it. But the guys at Perform Channel 5, they basically called me and said, you can't do that because we need you across all six games at once. They're all happening at the same time. So completely, I hadn't thought of that, completely fair point. So Nick Kennedy went up and did it, and which means that the viewer probably had a better experience anyway. Nick Kennedy was there last night, by the way. I'd love to get him on the podcast. He is a properly interesting bloke, very bright, really honest guy. I think he'd be a really good guest.
Sounds
on here.
Incredibly posh.
Yeah, not
which,
as posh
which means I'd like him.
Your kind of people. So, yeah, but it was kind of high drama, wasn't it? And Bath gave... they were always going to beat London Irish, and London Irish had nothing to play for, but they gave them a proper tumping.
Like, oh, didn't
they
just?
Matt Banahan just dominated that game.
I suppose, yeah. Two tries from the back of a driving line-out.
Don't like that one brutal line he cut, which was just a bit... It's a big man line, that. That is a proper Jamie Roberts line.
It is.
Proper big... That's a big,
takes
hard man.
Three over with him as well.
That's the sort of line, I think... George North would cause havoc on that line if he really smashed it in. But then I don't know, he doesn't seem to cut, maybe he disagrees.
Falatau
he wants to dance.
As well.
Falatau is good. You see Banahan's offload on the outside to Falatau tackle. Stop that. Stop
rude.
That.
But look, it was nice that Lennon Irish had the final say. They scored a try at the end.
Yeah.
I think Loader scored. I think it was his first Premiership start. Scores a try at the end. It's been horrible for them because they've been poor all season. It's hard to motivate yourself. They're going down. You know, they'd be glad the season's over, but it's nice they scored a couple of tries at the end. Come on.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it's nice. But Bath looked great.
Saracens tumped Gloucester as well.
Yeah. Yeah, again, but Gloucester were so... They were so loose. It's almost like they said, lads, let's just go and enjoy ourselves. And that is... All right, unless you are playing crazy Harlem Globetrotters rugby from your own try line against the best defence in, shall we say, Europe on its day. Unfortunately, Sarri's just... like the Juan Figajo try was just Sarri's completely shutting them down.
They started well, though, Gloucester, didn't they?
And really well.
Woodward made a lovely break out of his own half, and I think Seabrook scored first try all the way from their 22.
On debut. I think it's the fastest debut try ever.
But you talk about lines as well. Lazowski hit... Ah, delish.
Was he playing 13?
No, he'd come off the bench. I'm not sure what position he was playing when he came up, but the line he hit, it was either 12 or 13, the line he hit was just immense, and he puts Farrell then in.
Yeah.
Because you look at Lazowski, he doesn't look that big on the field, I don't think, but when you stand next to him...
Yes.
He's a big, and he's strong, he hits as well. His old man, I know his old man, and he was a back row, so he's got that mongrel in him.
Oh yeah. But he is definitely, you're right. He's bigger than you think, and he wears baggy kit, but when he doesn't, he's got a set of shoulders on him and he's got proper quadzilla and hammies on him.
And technique as well. When he hits, he chases with his legs as well.
He's also
power.
He's also got something that makes people look more powerful than they are sometimes, which is proper intent. You know, he has got proper intent. Like, he will smash.
He wants to make a tackle.
He wants to collide.
He wants
hard.
To hit a line. Yeah.
Like, a couple of months ago, he buried Waldrum a couple of times.
Yes.
When Exeter played up there, and Waldrum came on a couple of big lines, and he smashed him.
I mean, when you've got a scrum or a line out, most teams want to attack the 10 channel because 10 are perceived to be the weaker tacklers. When you attack that 10 channel, then it opens up. It's a short channel, so you've got a lot of room then to go the same way.
Yeah.
But I think people look at him and think, right, that's the channel we're going down. But he smashes you.
It's like when Wilco is at 10.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You target him if you want, but if you don't...
Because he doesn't look a big bloke, does he?
No, either. But if you don't get a good yard either side of Johnny, he's going to bury you.
Always remember that tackle on Bergamasco was proper neck jerker.
Yeah. Johnny had loads of those, though.
Yeah. Entomac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a proper... He properly fried him, didn't he? Bent him in half.
Exeter tumped Quinn's in the stoop.
Quinn's hung on for a bit, you know, but it was two teams on two different levels.
And we talked about Exeter all season, how good they are close to the line. Again, two or three tries.
Yeah.
Real close in.
Joe Simmons' try was nice, just wave after wave of players hitting that ball.
What about his pass, though? I don't think they end up scoring off it.
He makes
a break, and it's a 40-metre pass, flat out.
It's perfect.
And when you're running, mate, flat out, and you've got to make a pass like that, your head's all over the shop, because when you run, you know, your head's not still like it is when you're jogging.
Mm.
You know, it's probably a lot of force going through your body, and it's shaking. And to throw that pass, though...
I don't doubt he works extremely hard, and I don't want to discount his work ethic, but that's talent, that.
That is talent.
That is proper talent. That pass was beautiful. I think Charlie Morgan, one of the rugby writers, I think on Twitter, actually did a little gif or a little video of that pass. I think it was him, but what a pass that was.
It's a changing of the guard, isn't it?
He's got to be on tour this summer as well. There's a lot of players who've got to be on tour. I think it's about 8 fly halves so far have got to be there, but I'm not picking the squad, so who cares? It's what we want.
Ben Foden's last game for Northampton.
Played really well, scored lovely.
He's got yellow card after 5 minutes.
He played really well.
Yeah, he got one try.
Yeah.
But he was involved in Tom Collins' try as well, lovely offload.
Yeah. Tom Collins, one of those players, I don't know why he hasn't played more. Maybe they know something we don't. I'm sure they do. But I always think he always looks really, really good, really sharp, hard to play against. Yet they haven't picked him all year.
And they taste delicious.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Don't
they? They do.
Don't they?
So,
nice for Foden to go out on a victory.
Semi-finals coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you out there?
I'm at Chiefs.
Okay.
So
I'm glad.
Why?
Because the weeks that you aren't on the telly, because there's something's up, whether it's Champions Cup or whatever, you're not very happy when we meet. So I'm glad you're on there.
You think I need the exposure to keep my self-esteem up?
No, it's just you get a little bit angry.
Okay.
You know, you're a bit short.
Don't go on about it.
So... Exeter Saracens final, do you reckon?
Yes.
Both home teams going to win?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. So the way, not this very interesting, but as you well know, it's a highlight show, so you've got to go to the latest game possible. You can't go to the first game. So we are in, I think I'm in London on the Friday night, which is a shame, but then I'm in Exeter on the Saturday morning, which is fine. Got a comfy car. So we will film from the second game, which is Chiefs. It's going to be Saracens against Chiefs, isn't it?
We've got the Guinness Pro 14 quarterfinals. We've got Glasgow Scarlets. That'll be a cracker of a game.
That'll be a lovely game, that.
Really game.
I
think the Scarlets are going to win that, though.
You'd predict that.
I mean, they had a pretty disappointing semi-final against Leinster in the Champions Cup. It's in Glasgow.
Tommy Thomason.
Yes.
All right, I'll go Glasgow.
You've got Leinster Munster.
Yeah, that's Leinster all day, isn't it? It depends what they put out.
Yeah, it's a week after the final. Isn't the finals this weekend?
If you were one of those lads, you'd want to play. You'd want to win the Pro
14
as well.
Yeah, you would.
Because you don't want to win Europe, because I think they're going to win Europe. You don't want to win Europe and then lose your domestic league when you could have won
it. And you've got Ulster Ospreys as well. So I think that's Ulster not playing particularly well at the moment. Ospreys trying to find a bit of form. It's the last game for a couple of these boys at the Ospreys. You know, Dan Bigger's leaving. Rhys Webb, I don't know if Rhys Webb's going to be fit, but they'll want to end for sure.
It's a massive game. The players like Dan Bigger stand up. That's what I always expect to see.
Yeah. But anyway, this weekend is the Challenge Cup and the Champions Cup final. You've got...
Oh, yeah, isn't it?
You've got Cardiff Blues, Pow, or Poe.
Poe.
On Friday night. I don't know.
No.
No, it's not even Poe.
Gloucester.
What are you on about? Yeah.
Muppet.
Why did you say Poe? That was a semi.
You say Poe.
You did. You were mouthing it to me.
Poe. I forgot it was that. So I'm doing my. I'm on a motorbike with Dylan Hartley while the Champions Cup final's on.
Oh, great. You'll be a barrel of laughs.
Probably go to the ruddy boozer with him and watch it afterwards and get blooming lashed, or just go home and catch up on it on Sky Plus.
Hard one to call that. Blues Gloucester.
Yeah,
Gloucester have been playing some really good rugby.
I really hope they win.
But serve the Blues.
I really hope the Blues win. I want Gloucester.
Well, I really hope the Blues win.
Okay, well, good luck to you.
Well, I'm speaking louder, so therefore,
I think Glasgow will win the Scarlets match, and I think Gloucester will win this match, and I think Leinster will win the other match. Okay.
Okay.
Happy with this?
What about the final? Leinster, Racing.
Yeah, Leinster. Sorry, that's what I mean. That's the game I mean.
Okay.
I think Leinster will beat Racing.
Yeah, I think Leinster will as well.
I wouldn't start Dan Carter, would you? I'd start Pat Lambie. He's been playing really well.
If you were to play Leinster, where would you say their weakness is? And I know you could say standard stuff like we're pressuring at line out, we're pressuring
Tommy,
at the scrum.
I don't see one, boy.
No, that's why. Nor do I.
So what happens when you look at the great teams that have been beaten against the odds, like when Ireland beat the All Blacks, for example, and then I think you try and produce, and when the Lions beat the All Blacks, you have to try and produce, I think, a defensive performance that you haven't produced before. So you need to be incredibly physically on it, incredibly mentally on it, and you need to just rip their space apart, rip into their space and smash them. And it's easier said than done, of course, but if you're a millisecond off, Sexton and those guys will cut you to pieces.
Okay.
But I think the only way to beat Leinster is to not give them the ball, and when they've got it, smash them to bits repeatedly. And it sounds easy, and I just don't
see how they
lose that. The problem is,
you're going to have to give them the ball, because at some stage you're going to have to kick, because you're going to be under pressure. But rip into them and smash them, that's how you beat them.
Well, it's kind of, you think about when Ireland beat the All Blacks, how did they do it? It wasn't, they scored points. When they had the ball, they were good with it.
I'll tell you how they beat them if you want.
It was more about when New Zealand had the ball, they bashed into bits.
It was also about the opportunities they had. They had four or five opportunities, which they took every single time.
Yeah.
You've got to put a team under pressure consistently for 80 minutes. You're right, you can look at their defence and think, right, where can we attack them?
Do not know.
There's no real weakness there. They're good on the drift. They're good on the blitz. They don't get sucked in. They're all decent rugby players. Very good sort of rugby intelligence. So they know when to blitz. They know when to drift. They know about how to space themselves apart. So it's just about continuously not making mistakes, looking after the ball, and eventually gaps will open. But it is tough. It is tough. I mean, you can look at some teams. You can look at potentially the Scarlets, say, right, we're going to beat them up front. We're going to beat them physically.
Mm.
And that's what happened. That's what Leinster did to the Scarlets. But I look at Leinster and I think, oof, I wouldn't want to.
But Racing have a lot of powerful defenders. They have Camille Schaut. They have Wenceslas Laure. They've got some.
Rakitawa.
They've got some great defenders there. So, if there is a team that is going to basically batter Leinster into submission, I think Racing is one of those teams. But for me, that's the only way they do it.
Mm, I agree.
And I want Leinster to win.
Yeah, same. Same. That's probably us done, isn't it, boy?
Yeah, let's go now, mate. That's enough now. I'm telling you what I'm doing. I'm walking the dogs after this. And then I'm.
Don't lose them.
I'm going to go to the blimmin' gym again, aren't I?
Are you? You went this morning, didn't you?
No, I didn't go this morning. I went for lunch with my friend Jane this morning.
Oh, I did spin.
I had garlic mushrooms on toast with smashed avocado on sourdough. Stop it.
I had smashed avocado on sourdough with an egg and a little bit of bacon for protein.
You and I have got so much in common. I saw some of the Bath lads in the cafe. So Francois Lowe was in there.
Is that where you went down? You just waited for him to go in and say, oh, what are you doing here, lads?
So can you sign? I walked up and said, can you sign this? I'm pretending to get my willy out of my flies.
We were in Bath
kit. Yeah, DF kit. And saw Francois, Dave Denton, who's obviously was at Bath, but he's off to Leicester. And it's funny, you forget. Like, I know that I would be heavier than those guys, but they would be a much better nick. You forget, big old units. Dave Denton is a massive bloke. There was another guy with them who's a high-profile player, but I don't mean to be that guy that says, I know something you don't know, but I actually won't say who that was, just in case it's political, him being in Bath. I know Bath have tried to sign him before and it hasn't worked, but I don't know if he was there because he's playing for Bath next season or what. I think he's not, but he was a lovely, lovely man. Lovely man. So I had a lovely chat with them pre-lunch, sort of pre-brunch, really. That's what I do now.
Finger on the pulse, haven't you?
Finger on the pulse. I said, what's moving and shaking? And they said, nothing, really. I said, cool, see you later.
Hi, boys.
Good luck, everyone.
Anyway, goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.